Blog Talk Radio.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
You know our love wasn't meant to be the kind of love I'll have forever, and I want you here with me from tonight until the end of time. You should know.
But I, for my part, tonight I'm looking at, no matter who wins this, we still got to fight Agenda 21. And after tonight, I think I'm going to take my Agenda 21 fight more onto a global stage and start talking to other people in other countries around the world more about this and pursue the issue that way too, because it is a global issue that has to be dealt with. We have to overcome those who want to instill Agenda 21. And to do so, we have to expose the truth behind man-made global warming and why that it was picked as the way to scam money out of us through carbon taxes via the UN. We just have so many other fronts to fight on. We're nowhere out of danger economically, culturally, or security-wise. We still have a long road to haul. But getting rid, and here will be my problem. I would hope that if Romney does win, that there's no pardoning Obama or Holder or Hillary or any of these people, and that there are full investigations into their treason and to their lies and to all the corruption involved within their group and all those tied to them. There's many people, I mean, the next 4 years should be mainly a took up with justice, meeting out justice for the people of this nation that have been scammed in any way possible by these people. And, restoring law and order. We've let law and order get out of hand where certain people feel like, well, they're above the law, and the Hollywood elite sure seem to be those that fit that mold. When you look at how, if any one of us had done the things that Lindsay Lohan has done, well, there wouldn't have been all the probation and all the extra chances and this and that. You'd have been locked away, period. When our congressman can violate the law with no fear of justice coming after them. We got to change these things. They're not above the law. They're no different than any of us. Matter of fact, they're supposed to be an example for us to look up to, and none of them have done that. I don't see anyone that I look up to as an example and tell my kids that's who I want you to be like, because I sure as hell don't. I can't think of any politician I would ever tell my kid that about. None come to my mind. I see them for what they are. And it's been, for me, it's been a 6-year battle against certain aspects of the global government, the Agenda 21. But it's also been a 6-year battle against illegal immigration. I was fighting Bush and company, and then I ended up fighting Obama and company. And Obama's the one who goes around the Constitution and around Congress and around the law and just declares, well, an amnesty. He has no authority or power to do that under the Constitution or the law, and I didn't see anyone calling him on it. We got to return our nation to where law means just that, and nobody's above it. Nobody gets special treatment under it. It's not supposed to be that way. The law is supposed to be blind to all those things. And we must see the law returned as meaning something. And when those who enforce the law, I got to say, there are some that deserve and earn the respect of the public, and there are others who earn and deserve the disrespect of the public. Again, you're supposed to be set an example. When our public is paying, well, this just always got me, that someone doing the same job as my wife in the public sector would be making 3 times what she does and would have 5 times the benefits that she does, yet she's the one who's paying for it. If that doesn't kind of just set people off, it does me, as if there's something wrong there. When the people that are paying the taxes and stuff, the ones that are paying to jobs are making more and getting better benefits than they get. Something's wrong. And if you allow the government to keep growing, eventually there'll be more people working for the government, so they don't have to worry about no election. They'll just automatically win because everybody works for them. Therein is why they want unions. And we'll see that role played out. But now, we've got to set a sight on the future. And hopefully, I don't know how the Senate's going to come out after tonight. And to me, that's a very big concern. I want to see Harry Reid nullified. I want to see him taken out of power. And I want to see a Senate that's not afraid to put things on the floor for vote, like budgets. Congress, I want to see us maintain the hope there. And I hope we can hold on to that until Nancy Pelosi is long dead and gone. Because the last thing this country ever needs is Nancy Pelosi returning to the control of Congress. Hello.
Mr. Bill Straw.
Mr. Robert.
How
what are your
doing,
thoughts
sir?
On this? What are your thoughts on this evening, Mr. Robert?
Well, I'm watching the returns. I'm on my third beer. 7
Well, I'll tell you. It's like all the anxiety of the last 6 years has called up and set on me tonight, Robert.
I understand, Bill.
I don't know if I'm going to have a stroke if Obama wins or if I'm going to have a stroke if Romney wins.
Well, you know, my father had a saying. He always used to tell me, all we got is time. And that's basically what it is. It's time. You know,
yeah.
I understand I understand what he was talking about.
Well,
you know?
Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, tonight ain't stopping anything.
No.
We still got.
You know,
if we're going to stop anything, we've still got a long ways to go.
I know we do, Bill. You know, it was. You know, I went to the booth and I voted. I voted my conscience. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, but. You know, there's a guy in there, and he pulled me aside, and he said to me, if you would have ran, you would have won. And when he said that to me today, I must have made a difference. Because I fought, Bill. I fought hard. I fought against Vern Buchanan. And the reason why I voted for him, because there was no right of vote. I was left it empty. But if I voted for him for one reason, so I could give him more than you know what. You know?
You know, well.
I had to do what I had to do. I had to vote my conscience.
That's how I go. I go from my heart, what my heart tells me. And that is my conscience and, you know, my guide. And that's how I choose and that's how I select and I vote. And I'm independent. And as I said, you know, I vote for the best candidate. It's not my fault that one party just overwhelmingly just grates against me. And it's sad.
Oh, but it is sad.
I have never seen my nation so divided, so Americans against Americans as it is right now. And I'm thinking of all the past, the civil rights movements and the things that brought us closer together and all the strides trying to come closer together, and to have one person come in there and destroy that.
Well, you know, the Clintons started the race card. You know that, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
They started the race card. That was their last white hope, so to speak, and they just, you know, destroyed divided the country, and you know, they're gonna reap what they sow down the road of line. It's all gonna come out in the end. And, you know, if Romney gets elected, he's gonna be man enough to tell the truth of really what happened. I mean, I just want, like Ron, I just want to know the real truth, and that's about the truth, the whole truth, and the truth, so help me God, you know? I just want the whole, I want the truth. I just want to know if my life was worth it. Was my life really worth it to make a difference?
Well,
you know, to fight for our freedom.
When I look at my grandkids, Robert, I kind of, to me, I'm answered. Was my life worth it? When I look at them, yeah. But then on the same token, that's what also drives me when I look at them and I think, I'll be damned. I will be damned if I will sit back on my butt while you steal my grandchildren's future, while you set
exactly.
yourselves up to enslave my grandchildren and make them slaves to a global government of tyranny and, you know, total control. I'll be damned. I'll be damned.
Yeah.
I fought for my
country
once. I'm back fighting for it again. And it's a shame that I have to be back out here fighting for it again. But I do.
Oh, yeah.
Because if I don't, who's going to?
I mean, you know, it's a shame. Not only did I vote today, Bill, I paid my taxes on my house. You know what my taxes was worth? You know my house is worth in taxes? $646 and change, which is lower than my car insurance. Now, does that make sense?
I have no idea how Florida does things. I have no idea how other states do things sometimes.
That's because of the 25,000 homestead exemption tax that we had to pay for, that we had to vote for. You know, being Florida,
well, we have a homestead exemption. I'm not sure how much it is, but we have that here in Indiana, and we have, our property taxes are fairly low, and they've done pretty good at keeping them there. You know, you can take Indiana. Indiana was a state Obama won last time, and they didn't even try here this time because they knew they were out.
I think Romney's pulling out Indiana. If you want, I'm watching the results pretty closely here.
Well, he should be like.
You know,
okay, Indiana, he's 20 points up.
Romney 59 in Obama 39 in Indiana. Romney beat Obama in Kentucky. Okay, now Romney's lost in Virginia. That's too sad. And Romney lost, so far it's 46% of the vote counted. Romney beat Obama in your state. So,
well, yeah, he's beating him with 14% of the vote in.
Right.
But
so far, Romney has 19 electoral votes, and Obama has 3. So,
that's counting Indiana, Kentucky, which Obama never counted on winning anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows? Indiana is a crucial state. Richard Murdoch.
That's the crucial right there. That's the Senate. That's the Senate seat, and that's a crucial seat. And I'm rooting for Murdoch.
He's got 47%, and Donnelly has 46%. He has 81,819 votes right now as we speak.
I'm hoping for a win there with Murdoch because the Senate is so important. Taking the Senate is so important, and
I'm reporting the news as I look at it.
Yeah, without looking at the overall thing, there is we've got to take control of the Senate if we're going to change anything.
Mike Pence says he's a Republican. He's got 50% of the vote. Mike Pence.
Yeah, Mitch Daniels had to go. He couldn't run again this election. And the truth is, there's a guy named Mike Delf. If you look him up in Indiana, Mike Delf and the Republican parts of state legislature in Indiana, they're the ones who have done all these things that Mitch Daniels took credit for.
Right.
The right to work, the school voucher systems, and all these things. These are things Mitch Daniels, only one of them was he going to pursue. He wasn't going to try to do any of the other things that these guys went ahead and did. And then they laid them on his desk, and he signed them and took credit. Mitch himself was a globalist. He was for the North American Union. He was for the SPP project. He was for the NAFTA Superhighway and all these things, you know. He was before Agenda 21. And I tried telling people about that. That would always tell me, well, your governor's great. My governor wasn't great. You didn't know my governor. Who was great was Mike Delfin, our state legislator. Legislature. That was what was great.
Wow.
And that's what's still great. And I really wish Delfin would have run for the governor spot, because I can't get Mike Pence to respond about Agenda 21 in any way, shape, or manner. And I'm pretty sure he was sitting in the House the day that Nancy Pelosi brought it on the floor.
I don't mean to laugh.
So, you know, I'm that way. I'm looking...
I don't mean to laugh, Bill Strong.
I'm looking at things... Well, I look at things, you know, hey, he won't respond... tries to act like he don't know what it is when he was sitting in the House floor the day it was brought on the House floor. One of the things I can't stand is deception, deceit, or lying, or whatever.
Bill Strong, I couldn't even stomach voting for Connie Mack, man. I couldn't stomach voting for that man. I just couldn't. But I couldn't stand the Democrat. I couldn't stand the Democrat, his opponent. I hate Bill Nelson. Bill Nelson Bill Nelson was the last vote for health care. You know that as good as well as I do.
Yeah,
he was responsible. You know, he was the last hope of voting against it. He voted for it. You know,
Well, that goes back to Al Franken stealing the vote with convicts.
I mean, it's the best of both worlds, man. Which criminal are you going to pick?
That's kind of where I was. It was Greg or Pence. Oh, I was damned if I was going to vote for Greg. You know?
Oh, man. I mean, I told the guy when I registered, I said, you know I'm voting under duress. It's not for revenge, but under duress. But that's how I felt. I never felt so discernible in my life, Bill. I never had an uneasy, discernible feeling going into the booth at all. Really.
I heard a veteran today. He posted and told me that he went in to vote and he's. Told him he was voting for revenge. This was revenge for the four men in Benghazi.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I was basically remembering them. I was remembering those poor Americans, knowing if the president did know before he flew to Las Vegas, if he knew that.
He knew.
You know, how can
there's
somebody
a, there's
go
There's a
to
sadness sleep? And a sickness in all this. They knew. They knew. They covered up. They tried lying and hiding. And you still had whistleblowers who kept telling on them. And now we know that when you look, CBS or was it whoever, 60 Minutes, edited the part of the video where Obama refused to call it a terrorist attack. Yet when he goes on his debate, he claims it's a terrorist attack. The woman who took her lips off his butt long enough to say, yes, he's right, he called it a terrorist attack, she bald-faced lied. She knew she was lying. Why would she? She just miraculously had that paper right there in front of her.
Man.
You know.
It's sad that America wants four more years of that.
Well,
and
here's what I say. Even if Obama wins, if we take the Senate and the Congress, we can then impeach his butt and try him.
You think that will happen?
That's what I would do. But you got to realize, I'm not a politician. I operate on a whole different level of person than they do. My level is, you know, I want to look you in the eye and tell you the truth. I ran for an office once as union, when I was in a union. I ran for the union president. And I told the men then when I ran, I'm not going to be like everybody else and make you a promise I can't keep. The only promise I'm going to make to you is I'm going to do the best job I can do for you. And that's the only promise I can keep. And that's the truth of a politician, too. But they'll sure go out here and promise you the moon.
You know what's sad of me? You know what's sad of me last night on our show is this is how he felt about what's going to happen after the vote. And when he played taps, you know, it really what's the word I want to use? It really malaise me. It malaise me to the point where I basically went to sleep and cried myself to sleep because I was so sad of when he played taps for the how he felt. You know, that's basically how I felt of last night's show.
Oh, come on, Robert. Every one of us do the emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
We're totally pissed off to and enraged to totally heartbroken and back and forth in between and everywhere past and on either end. Am I wrong? Is that not how we are?
Oh no, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, Americans vote out of their pocketbooks. So, you know, I mean, my pocketbook, I have, right now, I just have a dollar to my name. You know what the world, you know, what do you hear an old joke, an old Jewish joke? You know how you make a Jew moan? You take their money away from them.
I'm from an area that's full of Dutch people, and I always hear that kind of stuff about them too. So, you know, and my ancestors are Dutch. But you know,
I mean, it's a crying shame. It's a crying shame that we're talking to America, and we really still don't have a voice. We really don't have a voice, Bill. I don't think they listen to us. I don't think they'll ever listen to us.
Well, they're never going to be able to say I didn't try. To me, that's the crime, would be not trying. I'm going to try. I'm going to give it the best I got. I'm doing this for my grandkids. I'm doing this for other children. I'm doing this for those that can't do it for themselves, you know, having infirmaries and disabilities and stuff. I'm doing this for wounded warriors and, you know, my fellow veterans and stuff. I'm doing this for the people that knows what I mean when I say I love my country. I truthfully, 100% with every bit of my heart, I love my country. And
yeah,
I will fight to the death for it.
Well, you fought for us, Bill. You went to Nam. You fought
my
for
ancestors,
us, man.
My ancestors have been in every war this country's ever been in. I've had cousins since me, younger cousins, that have served in. I lost a cousin in Iraq. You know, it's part of our family heritage. It's part of of being so proud to be an American that it's an honor to go serve your country.
Sure it is. And I missed that honor. They kicked me out. They told me to go home. They saved my life, basically.
In other ways, you probably were doing something along the lines that you were helping in a way you don't even know, Robert.
Well, Bill, you know, I was 5'2". I flunked the puzzle test. I couldn't put the puzzles together. You know, when I couldn't put the puzzles together, they looked at me and said, get the hell out of here. Go home. Yeah, you know, I regret not serving my country. But, you know, when I got my draft card, Bill, before Nixon brought the troops, came home, my draft card was class 1A-52. I would have been the 52nd person to be sent to Vietnam. 73. You know, and I mean, we were awful. All my buddies, we were awful. But some of my buddies did go, and they didn't come back. You know, but you know, I just felt like I missed out. I felt like I didn't participate what I should have done. I should have served my country. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to run, because I wanted to serve my country. But now, you know, knowing that we all know, and knowing the truth, that we know the truth now, I feel like I've been blindsided for all the wrong reasons. I feel like I've been cheated and framed, so to speak. Really. I feel like
I was bitter. I was bitter for a long time, Robert. Very bitter. I felt like I had, when we came home, I felt like we were betrayed by our country. And we were betrayed by our citizens, the way that many of them reacted and stuff. That bitterness long subsided. And I look back and I realize we didn't serve, we weren't serving politicians in our hearts. We were serving our country. And that's what I look at it as. We were doing for our country. It was our politicians who screwed us, not our country.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. You're 100% right. So now that we know the truth, I mean, how long can we survive now? That's the main question. I mean, how sooner or later are we going to be greased, so to speak? I mean, we're almost there anyways. You know, I haven't seen the news on Portugal, whether how Portugal is doing. I haven't heard whether they're going to collapse yet. And, you know, and I don't know where Spain's going right now. So I would still watch those two.
Economically, we're on a collision course. And I don't know if people understand this. We look at the $16 trillion debt we have now. We're like, oh, my God. If nothing else is done, nothing, and then no matter who wins, if they come in, if they don't spend an extra dime other than what's already been cut to spend, right?
Right.
Our debt in 2016 is going to be $22 trillion plus.
Oh, I know that.
See, that's something that no one put out here in the political spectrum was putting out here. They should have said, even no matter who wins, if not another dime is spent, we're still going to be $22 trillion in debt in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, Robert,
I had my
step-grandson over. He's 11 years old. And I showed him the U.S. debt clock. And I showed him his $51,000 share. Well, he went to school. And he brought it up to his teacher. And his teacher and him, they all brought it up on the computers at school. And they all went to talking about it. And they went to 2016 and looked at the $75,000 debt it'll be then. And, you know, and they're talking about this debt is on their shoulders. And how did this debt get on their shoulders? And I'm thankful to come from an area that a school will allow this kind of discussion to go on.
Wow. Is that a charter school?
No. That's Brownstown Central High School.
They allow that.
Yes. Wow. And they recently voted down changing where kids don't write cursive. Brownstown says, oh, yes, you will.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's refreshing to hear.
I live in a part of the country where I see the American dream all the time. I see somebody get out here and get a good job and succeed and get ahead and you know, build a life for them and their family. I see that happen. I live in an area that still puts principles and has values in certain things. We still have moral values. Our churches are still big institutions around our area. And we're full of Christian churches. There's no mosque in our area.
Wow.
We still believe, you know, you look out for your neighbor. You look out for your family and your friends. You try to be good to each other and stuff. And, you know, you help whoever you can help. We still have that in Southern Indiana. Northern Indiana is totally different. It's more socialist, more Obamaized. But Southern Indiana has that. And you see it. You still see the small farmer and his family that make a living off of doing the farming and stuff. And, you know, you can still, anything you can grow, Indiana can just about grow. But the only thing we can't grow is oranges and artichokes, and we don't care about that. We can get our oranges from Florida, and we don't care about the artichokes.
Mm. Well, I still have one orange tree left. I had to cut the mine down. One orange tree had to come down and died. But I still have
There is one race in Florida that I'm curious about. I'm curious about it because of how much the Democrats spent trying to beat this one man.
Which race are you? Alan West?
Alan West.
I figured you were going to say that.
Nancy Pelosi met with Islamic groups against Alan West.
Well, that's because Schultz is out for his blood. Basically, Schultz and Alan West are like oil and vinegar. Number one, they can't stand each other. Alan West hates her to the T, and Schultz would do anything to just mess him up mentally. Anyhow.
Well, George Soros contributed several million dollars in trying to defeat Alan West. There's been no more money spent against anybody than spent other than Romney. As far as Congress goes, nobody's had more money spent against trying to take him out than West has.
Because they're scared of it, Bill Strong. And Alan West.
And I just seen a thing
like
that says
do.
That Murphy's beating him.
Well, Alan West speaks the truth, but they don't like it. That's the bottom line. They can't, you know, I love Alan West. I think he's a great guy. You know, I don't want to see him get hurt, but, you know, I guarantee you the ads that were against him stem from Wasserman Schultz. She's an evil, very, very spiteful little, you know what. And to think she's my congresswoman gives me heartburn.
I had one of those when I had Baron Hill. Baron Hill was a Pelosi butt kisser. Anything Nancy said, he was right there. Baron was never what he thought he was. He always tried to portray himself as an Indiana high school basketball legend. He was a decent player, but he was no legend. There were several players in the area whose career statistics blow him away. He never won a championship.
Now, you know, I was watching on C-SPAN last night at 2 in the morning. I couldn't sleep with the damn. And at 2 in the morning, I was watching C-SPAN, and I was watching the senatorial Wyoming debate. And the way that debate was moderated, Bill Strong, was a really, really, I mean, they beat the same drum to the same issues down to the, you know what, you know, we could outdo them, we could run circles around them, but at any rate, they beat the drum, you know, tax and spend, it was like a rhythmic beat of both sides of the issues. You could just snap your fingers and they just repeatedly say the same stuff over and over and over again like you don't want to hear anymore.
Well,
right?
We've been hearing it. What we never hear is truth told. Never hear nobody step up here and say, hey, I can't do crap unless we can change this, this, and this.
Yeah, but they don't give you how they're going to change it. They don't give you the five basic rules of journalism of how to do it. You know, they don't.
Well, we've had a media that has been complicit. They have become nothing more than a propaganda unit for the Democratic Party, and they will hide the truth. They will deny facts. They will bald-faced just flat out lie to protect Obama. And if we had a fair media, a totally fair media, this election would have done been over.
And South Carolina went with Barack Obama, 75% Mitt Romney, and 24%. Wow, I'm shocked about South Carolina.
Well, I'm not. What you're probably going to find out in South Carolina when you get done is they had probably 135% of the people vote.
Did you say 35 or 135?
I said 135.
That's what I thought you said.
We had that. We had a deal like that in Lake County in 2008, where Lake County had more voters than they had people registered to vote.
That was unbelievable.
Unrealistic number.
It is an unrealistic number for South Carolina. That's because the governor fooled around in Argentina with that girl. You know that story.
Yeah.
The affair.
It's odd how far apart South Carolina and North Carolina are on political spectrum when they're right there side by side, you know.
Now, let's see.
I say that, but then again, I'm in Indiana, and we're right beside Illinois, and you got Michigan to the north of us, and Ohio, who knows what the hell Ohio is. They're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're a swinging door.
And Romney took Virginia, I think. I think Romney took Virginia, right? Wow, Georgia. Romney won in Georgia, 71%.
Well, he's not won. This is only 14%, 30%. You got to wait till the whole thing comes in. They won't call him yet. There's still too much of the people yet to be counted.
Now, Obama's ahead in New Hampshire, of course. Obama's ahead in North Carolina. South Carolina, Obama's ahead. Obama was ahead in Vermont.
Now, see, these can all change before morning.
Yeah, but Romney's ahead in Virginia, which is a good sign. That's the key. If Romney could pull Virginia to hold on to it, that's a good key.
Well, right now, Romney's ahead in the national popular vote. And you know what? That looks almost like that same exact thing that was on CBS that got slipped up. I swear.
Yeah.
I got to check the time. Somebody needs to check the time to see if this is the same thing showing. If it is, that means we've all been had.
Romney took us ahead in Ohio. That's a good sign, too. Wow. That's a very good. So South Carolina, Obama creamed them. Vermont, went to Obama so far. Romney still has Virginia.
I don't think there's no surprise unless Romney actually loses Florida. Then that would be a surprise.
It's 1% right now in Florida. It's 50 to 49% right now in Florida. Romney, 57%. Obama, Kentucky, Romney got Kentucky so far. New Hampshire, Obama won 65%, still in the lead at 65%. North Carolina, Obama 59%. Ohio, Romney 57-42.
You know, if there was a way we could split the cost.
Yeah, well,
if you vote Democrat, then the spending bills and stuff are on you. If you vote Republican, well then it's not on you. It's like with illegal immigration. If you support illegal aliens, then mark this box. That means we will take out of your taxes to help pay for illegal aliens. If you do not support them, don't mark this box. We will not take out of your check. Well,
exactly.
I guarantee you, after a couple times when they figure out that there's only how small amount is actually paying for, they'll be changing their way they do things.
Well, the worst case scenario, if there's a electoral tie, Bill Strong, then supposedly, from what I heard, it could be a Romney Biden ticket.
Well, and such then, that would be Romney's job. Don't he have the power to fire his vice president?
I don't know. That you have to talk to Rod about that one. I don't know.
If that had happened, if I was Romney, I would sure as hell be looking into how do I fire Joe Biden.
I mean, that's what they said. Can you imagine? I don't know what to think about Biden.
You know, I've always had this list. I keep my the most ignorant of vice presidents ever list. And on that list is guys like Dan Quayle, Spiro Agnew, Al Gore.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people. If you believe Al Gore invented the internet, then you can believe he that global warming's man-made.
Oh, that tropical storm Sandy was because of global warming.
Oh, hell yeah. Why was it so damn cold then?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know.
Did anybody think about that?
No, man. I tell you, they're
getting ready to get hit tomorrow by another storm, and it'll be... I pray for those people, because the truth is the media, again, is hiding. There are people suffering.
Yeah.
The cold,
the
wetness, the cold, you know, there's going to be sickness and stuff. I'm pretty sure they ain't even begin to scope how many true deaths there are. They'll wait until after the election to tell us those kinds of things. And we can do all these things all over the country, concerts, this, that, but we can't get electric generators in there. We can't get help in there. We can't get water in there. What the hell?
More people without power right now
than there were at this time in Katrina.
Exactly. But the state of Alabama tried to come in, and they kicked them out. The union workers kicked them out.
That was New Jersey.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
The state of Alabama brought in all their utilities to help them out, and the union workers stopped them. Go figure.
That's where Christie should have stepped in there and said, "Oh, be damned, they're coming in."
Yeah, well, Christie hugged Obama.
I said all Christie has done in the last 2 weeks is solidify what I said about him when he won election. Chris Christie won in New Jersey because if he'd have tried to run in Indiana, he'd have been a liberal.
Wow. Wow.
And I got to say this. If John F. Kennedy was alive today, he'd be a conservative.
Oh, I know he would have.
He was a
conservative.
Because the Democrat Party wouldn't go for his lowering taxes and cutting spending.
You know, John F. Kennedy was a very... Did you know he had Hodgkin's disease?
I knew he had several problems.
But he had... Not only did he have Hodgkin's disease... He had psoriatic arthritis to no end. He was a very sore man all of his life. He was a pain most of his presidency.
But you know what he done? That no Democrat that's been in office has done recently.
What's that?
He served his country.
He did.
Yes, he did.
I mean, I was a third grade.
Ask Bill Clinton where he was at when Vietnam was going on.
He was probably sniffing cocaine or smoking pot somewhere. Where I don't recall.
Yeah. That's never been, they just talked about. And Obama, what the hell? He was a community organizer. What the hell is that really? Isn't that more like a community agitator?
Like me? I'm teasing.
Has he ever done anything where he had to spend his own money?
Obama? I don't think Obama's ever had to spend any money. He likes to spend other people's money. That's what a community organizer is. He likes to...
That's what these people who think socialism is great never realize. Yes, socialism does reduce the amount of people who are wealthy, But at the same time, it makes the amount of people who are poor even higher.
That's the ideological premise that I can't comprehend their ideology. I've tried to comprehend it.
Well, for all these people in Occupy and all these others out there, these Democrats that are onto their free entitlement stuff, I would ask them all, tell me how the entitlement programs work in the socialist countries. How well are the people under that?
They don't work.
They don't work. They don't exist.
No. I mean, we're paying taxes on imaginary programs.
We've got people who believe that the government controlling everything is going to benefit those that are too lazy to do anything.
Do you think you'll see Social Security? I mean, do you think you'll see Medicare bills drawn? I don't think I'll even see Social Security bills drawn.
I don't see what good freaking Medicare is. I have it now, Robert. I'm disabled. My back is shot. It's gone. And I have other problems. And I have it now, and I don't see that it pays crap. I'm wasting my money every month by paying for Medicare.
Man,
it's going to double what I pay in 2014, more than double.
If I wanted to try to get Social Security disability bill, if I even tried to get it, right, just Social Security disability, do you know how much I would get a month? Just take a guesstimate.
I have no idea.
I would only get $500 a month.
Holy crap.
Well, I was lucky.
I fought against it. I kept trying to say, you know, hey, it's my body, it's gone, my brain still works. But I had the opposite. I had a great career prior to my back going out. And I'm not complaining. What I complain about is that I see people out here who like to draw food stamps, and then I'll see them hitting every food bank around. And when I realize these people draw more in food stamps than a couple working pay out for food in a month, it kind of gets irritating.
When I see people
take advantage of the system left and right and laugh and think, hey, it's cool, then it irritates me.
I'm tired
of the free ride. I'm thinking, let's give them an earned ride. If we got to give you benefits, if you're able to work, then we're going to put you to work. You're going to be out here cleaning the parks, cleaning the streets, painting, whatever the hell. You're going to be doing something. And you give them a way to earn some self-respect, instead of giving them a handout and making them become dependent upon the handout. They get to work and stuff, they might get enough gumption to go get a regular job.
Yeah. I see it all the time in my neighborhood.
It gives them self-respect.
I see it all the time. They go out, they're not working, but they buy their beer and cigarettes. You know? You know, it's just, it's amazing. It's just amazing. And then, you know, the girl that I have to take care of, you know, she has cerebral palsy in a wheelchair. She's, you know, 24-hour total care bill. And Governor Scott is cutting the state's benefits. He's cut not only the workers' hours and almost in half, but has cut her disability pay like 10% to 20%. That's double stuff for you.
We're going to see more of that kind of stuff, Robert. I got about six minutes left here, and I really want to give everyone out there a thank you. Every one of you who have worked and blogged and written and contacted people and raised Cain and done whatever you've done, every one of you, thank you. thank you so very much for all the hard work you've done in trying to take back and turn our country around and save it. And you, maybe no one else will ever say it, no one else will ever acknowledge it, but the truth is, you've made a great difference in this nation, whether they want to admit it or not, you have. And your contributions of your time and your efforts are so appreciated by those of us who love our country and believe that we needed a turnaround and a different direction other than the way we were being led. We owe you all a great deal of thanks. You are true patriots in every sense of the word, and your courageousness, your dedication, they are to be admired. History may never write about them, but those of us that are alive now, it's up to us to write the things down that happened and keep logs so that our children and grandchildren will know that there was a group of patriots that loved this country enough to stand up and fight for it for 4 years, and they fought with everything they had at their disposals to do it. And I appreciate it, and I thank you, everyone. You're all. God bless you, everyone. You're true patriots, and you make me proud to be an American.
Yeah, well, you make me proud too, Bill Strong.
You know, Robert, they're never going to talk about what we've done, but we would have already been under the rule of Agenda 21 if it wasn't for the Tea Party. They were the one thing that this organized leftist takeover never saw coming, was the American people standing up and saying no. And the Tea Party, whether you like them or not, you got to give them credit. They actually saved this country.
They did. They really did. They fought the fought, they talked the talk, and they walked the walk, and look what happened.
They
America
saved this country. We would have already been handed to Agenda 21 if not for them.
If
Obama gets reelected, you won't see two more years before he does it.
Well, I hope not. I hope by tomorrow morning, Bill Strong, that at least we have, if he doesn't get elected, at least America heard our voices and fought the fought. And that's all I got to say.
Well, if no matter how this goes, we're going to have something to talk about next week. Linda has a show tomorrow night, and it'll be interesting because we'll know all the results or what's going to be happening, what lawsuits, this, that, tomorrow night. So I'm kind of curious as what Linda's going to have for us, or Terry on Thursday, or even on a hot seat on Friday, Michael on Saturday. I mean, there's still going to be much to be talked about because there's much to do. If we win, there's much to do. If we lose, there's much to do.
Exactly.
If Obama loses, will there be riots? If Romney loses, will there be a revolution? I hear these things. Truthfully, I don't think the American public has the stomach to do anything. I'm sorry, but they haven't showed me that they do. I don't know where we're headed. No one does. And we'll be going through tonight, anxiety, doubt. I'm like you, Robert. I think here in a few minutes I'm going to get off here. I don't have a beer in my house, Robert, but I have a wine cooler. I have a wine cooler. Robert, I gave up drinking several years back. Me and my wife both. We still drink once in a great while, but it's just not something we do like we did.
When
I gave up my wildness, I gave up a lot. But I'll tell you what, I gave things up for the love of a woman, and she was worth everything I gave up and more.
That's all that matters. That's what my Leonie gave me. She civilized me.
Everyone, have a great night.
You too, Bill Strong.
Hope the election gives us the results we're seeking, and I ask God to bless every one of you and keep you in my heart and in my mind. And again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're true patriots, and no one can take that away from you. You're true patriots. Our founders will be proud.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Everyone, all right, have
Bill
a great
Strong.
Night.
I think this is our first show together.
Well, a good one, Robert. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me. Take care, Bill Strong. I'll see you tomorrow
too.
Night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Goodbye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
I'm off.